Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
How many entrepreneurs or business owners do we have in the room right now? Would you raise your hand? Come on now. See, there's plenty in here. One of the things that Legacy carries an anointing for is releasing people into the seven mountains of influence. One of those is this, is the business mountain, the economic mountain. I was having a conversation, went to an affirmation service with one of our friends who are apostles over in Burnie last night, where they were setting in several new leaders and pastors and whatnot. And I was having a conversation with another apostle who's in San Antonio, and we were just talking about the shift and the change in the church, where it used to be a mindset that the only way that you could serve in ministry would be you had to be a pastor, you had to be an itinerant, or you had to be a prophet. Right? And that was just kind of the thing in some of the older wineskin model of churches that you were limited to. But if you were a business person, well, we can find a place for you on our economic board or our budget board or something like that. We'll use you for your money and use you for your wisdom, right? But instead, not understanding the anointing that you have on your life, maybe as a sent one to the business world. And it reminded me of, we're looking at the economy of the world that's going on right now, and it's really easy to point to the devil as the reason things are going bad. It's real easy to point to darkness instead of understanding this. We have a responsibility of the bearers of light to actually bring light to the darkness. Okay? And so I don't care if it's economics, if it's education, it's the family, it's any of the social issues you're talking about. It's not a problem with the devil, and it's not a sin issue that's going on. It's actually the children of God who have to recognize not just who they are in Christ, but the specific, unique purpose they're designed with to take the light to the mountain so the whole world is lit up like a Christmas tree, right? For him, the marvelous light of Jesus. And I just really believe that we're not bound by the economy of this world. I understand there's different things going on, and certainly people lost jobs, and there's been different things that happened. What I'm telling you is we belong to a superior kingdom who has a superior economy, and God works outside of time and space to bring you real resources within time and space. Okay, and so I just want to honor you business owners especially because you're the ones that are doing that and you also employ people to go into it. And I believe that there's a real anointing that's being released in this season to see kingdom economics raised up. As much as you're seeing right now in the education mountain, what happened in Virginia with the shifting of the governor, lieutenant governor, and the attorney general, listen to this. It was because the parents said in the education mountain, we're not going to tolerate non-kingdom teaching and ideologies, and they rose up and transformed the education mountain that led to a transformation of the political mountain within Virginia. Do you hear what I'm saying? Right? So it's a shift that takes place, and I just really believe that you guys are going to see a release of the same way. There's going to be the economics of not just the U.S., but the world. Everywhere there's kingdom hub, there's kingdom family, there's kingdom entrepreneurs. There's an anointing coming on you. Wherever you put your hand to, you will prosper. And as you prosper, it's not just for your prosperity, but it's actually for the prosperity of the city that you live in. Okay? Remember what he said whenever they were taken into captivity in Babylon. What did he tell them? Build homes, plant gardens, and work for the prosperity of the land that you live in that wasn't even your land. Kind of sounds like a kingdom thing. How many people are born again in the room? Thank God. There's a lot of hands going up. If you're not born again, get born again today, okay, and meet Jesus. And what I'm telling you is you're a foreigner in a foreign land that's been sent by a king to transform the foreign land so you work for the prosperity of the city that you live in. Amen? So, with that being said, we look for opportunities to partner with kingdom business, kingdom entrepreneurs, and one of our own, Trish Weeks, has been working with an organization called the Inspire Collective, and Martijn is a business leader. I have a hard time saying his last name, to be honest with you, because he's Dutch, right? So, Martijn, if you're watching this, I apologize, but I do know your first name, Martijn. Amazing, carries a kingdom anointing. When he first came to the States, actually, He was raised in the Netherlands, and he had an anointing or a calling for ministry. So he thought, that must mean I'm supposed to pastor a church. So he pastored and planted 5 churches in the Netherlands. Then he says, this is good. There's fruit, but this doesn't feel like my calling. Then he answered a call to go to South Africa to be a missionary in South Africa. Maybe this will be my kingdom assignment. He goes out there and has success in South Africa. But yet, within his heart, he's going, this doesn't feel totally like me. Eventually, he answered the call to come to the United States and said, oh, I'll be an itinerant minister, and I'll travel around working on donations, and that must be it. And the Lord finally said, are you going to listen to me? I didn't design you to be within the church mountain. I designed you to be within this economic mountain that will release people into their kingdom creativity, into their anointing. And so he's working with churches, and we were just at a luncheon a couple weeks ago in Westover Hills in San Antonio, where there's multiple church leaders, multiple business leaders that came together and said, hey, we are all kingdom. The church leaders are saying, we support you as sent ones to the business mount, and validating that's your ministry, not just your business. That's your ministry. Come on. That's your ministry. Say it. It's their ministry. You don't sound convinced. Do you understand with Joanna Coe coming next week, there's going to be lots of people who are excited to receive an impartation from a powerful minister of the gospel who sees signs, miracles, and wonders. What I'm telling you is, I'm looking at some of you business people, you carry the same level of anointing and impartation in your field. And the Lord is going to send people to you to receive an impartation for business. You hear what I'm saying? Okay, it goes with responsibility. So we have these magazines. It's an opportunity within it. There's a QR code where you can actually tie into the network. I think it's February is going to be the next. There's a regional chapter for this Kingdom Business Inspire Collective that's going to be doing. So you can come and you can network and connect with other Kingdom Business people afterwards. So we have like 50 of these magazines afterwards. Trish will be over here if they answer any questions. I encourage you to do that. Amen? All right. Before I preach the word, the message today is going to be receiving and redeeming inheritance. Let me hear you say receiving and redeeming inheritance. I felt like the Lord wanted me to give you clarity for what was taking place in worship. Something I said, and if you don't come from our stream, I use a term that might freak you out a little bit, and I feel like the Lord says, hey, it's okay, let's give some clarity. And I use the word power portal. And I want to give you some clarity on things real quick, because it's important what was being released in the room. Do you understand that after, how many people could feel this shift? Worship was good from the get-go. Like, you guys were ready to love Jesus and be loved back. It was amazing from the word get-go. But there was something when you guys began to release your voice in a different way, that all of a sudden the angels who were already singing, I don't know if you heard it in the room, but there was a breakthrough of some of the angelic voices. I heard voices that weren't human voices that were joining with yours, especially when we went into, you know, you're worthy of it all, right? All the saints and all the angels, right? Together, this is collective worship. And it's because you guys actually connected into your spirit. And so real quick, there are 3 heavens that are described in Scripture, okay? There's the first heaven, which would be creation that we live in the natural realm. There's the second heaven that would be specifically where the angelic and the demonic activity takes place. And then there's the third heaven, which is where the throne room of God actually resides, okay? And so there's 3 different levels or realms that have specific rules and regulations and what's able to happen within those realms and those regulations. A lot of times what happens is this, is that we begin to feel spiritual warfare. And what we don't realize is necessarily is that that's coming from the second heaven, but there is no warfare in God's throne room. Okay? So what, you are a triune being. Say, I'm a triune being. Say, I'm spirit, I'm a soul, and I'm a body. Okay, you're not splintered, you're not disgruntled, you are all 3 of those all at once, you're one. But when you became born again, if you're born again, say, I am. The moment you became born again, your spirit, which is residing with Jesus, this new born again spirit, and there's several places in Scripture that describes how you were seated with him in heavenly places. That's the reality. Your spirit is born again. You are alive spiritually. What happened to Adam and Eve is they were spirit, soul, and body. The moment they ate the fruit, the forbidden fruit, which is the knowledge of good and evil, their spirits died. Okay, those things that would be residing with God die, and they were left to be ruled by their soul and their body in a broken world. Okay, when you became born again, your spirit was reborn and now seated and connected with Christ in heavenly realms. Okay, we need to understand this is important. So when we talk about I am saved, what we're saying is you are spiritually saved. And in fact, in Scripture, there's three different places throughout where it say you have been saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. What's that talking about? Having been saved means your spirit is already born again. You're fully, your spirit is 100% completely alive right now. There's nothing else that needs to make your spirit alive. It is fully alive. Amen? The thing about I'm being saved, what's that all about? That has to do with your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your experience, the psyche, the individual of who you are is going through a process of being saved, living according to what is already true in heaven. Because how many people realize the moment you got born again, all the bad thoughts didn't all of a sudden magically disappear, right? All the bad stuff that you've seen didn't automatically disappear. Like there's still the junk of this world that you're in, and you have a memory of what you've lived through, or you have patterns of living that are still there that have to be redeemed, have to learn how to be saved according to as it is in heaven, and that's your soul being saved. What does it mean to be? Then one day you will be saved. That's your physical body, okay? The one thing that is absolutely you cannot get out, there's only two men in history that never died. And Jesus wasn't one of them. He died, okay? Now, he was resurrected, but there was two who were born in this world who'd never experienced death. That was Enoch, and that was Elisha, the prophet. Both were taken up and did not experience physical death here. They were taken up. So outside of those two, every person has an inevitable truth is your physical body is going to decay, and it's going to die at one point, okay? Your spirit can bring life to your mortal body while you're here, and this is true, okay? You can see elongation of life according as in heaven, but the reality is we're all going to die. We need to die because our glorified bodies, which will be resigned with Christ, one day you're going to get a brand new body, okay? So we have to understand this is the process that's going on. Are we okay? This is kingdom theology. We need to understand what we're doing. So when we're talking about in this place of how do I worship, how do I pierce through the second heaven, the devil will do anything he can to disrupt your worship of him. Where is he doing that from? He's doing it from a second heaven, but he's pressing down into the first heaven, into your mind, your will, your emotions, into your body. He's trying to oppress downward. There is a third heaven, though, that is not subject to the oppression of the second heaven demonic realm. Do you understand this? Okay? So this is why it's important when we come into this place of worshiping, learning to worship according to my spirit, which is residing with the Christ in heaven, where there is no oppression, there's only freedom, there's only redemption, there's only the fullness of his kingdom that's there. And what that does is when I begin to sing in the spirit, when I begin to sing in according to my spirit, and whether that's you're speaking in tongues, you're singing in tongues, or you're using your natural language, English, Spanish, German, whatever, doesn't matter. When you're connecting your spirit to worship according to that, and you're submitting your soul, what it actually does is it cuts out the middleman. Listen, okay? That's pushing down and oppressing, and it literally creates a walking vortex. How do I know this? Somebody says, well, show me where that's in Scripture. It was a pillar of fire by night that led Israel. It was a cloud by day. What was that? Has anybody ever seen a tornado? It was a vortex. What was it? The God of the third heaven did not need the permission of the principalities of the second heaven in order to be able to touch the first heaven and bypassed that. So it was a direct connection. As it is in heaven, it's here on the earth. Are we okay? Are we following? This is important. This is so important. The days we're coming. Okay? So in this place where Paul says, I've learned, whether I have much or little, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He understood what freedom was. It was because whether he was sitting in a prison, he was being stoned, or he was being beaten for the sake of the gospel, he understood that his spirit was already resided in heaven, right? And his joy came from that realm. His success came from that realm. His peace came from that realm. What happens when they're in prison, there's multiple, whether it happened with Paul, it happened with Peter, where they're in the prison. I'm getting the stories mixed up. I think it was Peter when he's in prison, and all of a sudden the angelic comes in and opens up. There's an earthquake, and they don't realize that there's actually been a shift. All the prison doors are actually opened up, right? And the prison guard comes in. He's freaking out, going like, oh my God, I'm going to die, because the Romans would have killed him for allowing the prisoners to break out. And they're like, no, we're here. What were they doing prior to that? They were worshiping in the spirit. Heaven invaded earth, disrupted what the enemy wanted to do, and brought what heaven wanted to do into an earthly circumstance. And because of that, doors were open, chains fell off, and the prisoner or guard, or who was oversaw the whole guard prison, became saved because of that. Other prisoners were saved because of that. Do you hear what I'm saying? So when you're in a place and you're going, man, it feels so heavy here, like there's this oppression, what's going on in the United States, what's going on with Corona, what's going on with all these different things, what I feel like the Lord is saying is, can you get into a place no matter where you're at and begin to worship in your spirit that will bypass what the second heaven principalities are wanting to do? Okay, because that's your enemy. Your battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, right? This is authority. I'm pausing because I'm seeing things in the spirit right now. I'm just telling you right now. He's residing. He's shifting things within you. I see locks and tumbles. You know, like when you turn a lock and there's tumblers that have to turn in order for things to click into place. Right now, the Lord is turning the lock of your heart. He's turning the lock of your mind. And there's going to be divine revelation that's going to be come through this place, because you're going, I don't care what it looks like in the natural realm. Right now, I know I'm born again in the spirit, and this realm needs what's going on in that realm. This will be a testimony to the second heaven, where the demons are going like, what are we going to do? Nothing. Every time we try something, all they do is go into the spirit realm and pray, and prison doors open up. It ends up making them afraid to mess with you. We become so demonology-centric in things, and we should understand the mindsets of that world so we can actually disarm them. But I'm less interested in understanding how that works and more interested in knowing how he works. So what happened in that room, all of a sudden, where it was really good worship in this room and there was a good spiritual worship, we have angels that are all over this place, but suddenly a portal opened up like a vortex where it bypassed how many places that the enemy was trying to disrupt and remind people. Like what I saw in there was this. There were people starting to hear like, well, you can't worship him right now. Do you remember what you said to your kid on the way to church? Or you said to your spouse? Or do you remember what you did this last week? Do you remember that link you clicked on in the internet? Do you remember this conversation? All of a sudden, the enemy's like, trying to remind you of something that you never were supposed to be. But because in this place we began to tap into, as it is in heaven, all of a sudden prison doors opened up. I'm telling you, there was some people in this room, without one person praying over you, you were delivered, and I saw it, of pornography. I'm going to call it out. It disarmed. Now, you can walk back into the prison if you want, but I'm telling you right now, you've been given freedom in Christ. Learn. And it does go into the message to receive your inheritance. This is what every saint, every born-again child of God has access to, is the throne room of heaven. Why did Jesus say John the Baptist is the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets, but the least in the kingdom is greater than John? Because John did not yet have access to the resurrected Christ. John in his lifetime was not yet born again. The law and the prophets could only take you to a certain point. Okay? But now, John has a born-again spirit. You have a born-again spirit. What do you have access to? Who do you have access to? So next week, we've got Joanna Cohernan coming. I've shared already, I've got two prophetic words specifically about Jack Coe for me, and I believe in relation to, because I'm called as an apostle to this region, that it wasn't just a personal word. Most often, especially when an apostle receives a word, it's not about the person. It's about what will be released into a region that they're given oversight into specifically. And so this word having to do about Jack Coe, which saw signs, miracles, and wonders, and at the same time, the harvest of souls coming into and transformation, salvation that was being brought into. I've been talking to you about how do we prepare. Last week, I talked to you, how do you become a whole person, a whole leader, to be able to step into a whole world and make the world whole according to Christ? It's so important that we steward these things. Another part of this is learning how to receive an inheritance. There's plenty of stories of business people who were highly successful. They hand the business over to their children, but because they didn't know, they were great business people, but they were horrible parents, did not know how to hand off an inheritance to the next generation, and pretty soon that next generation just destroys the business. Or the business, maybe like Walmart, which by the point that the kids of Sam Walton began to inherit it, there was so much synergy going on, you couldn't kill that business. But it actually destroyed some of the family members of Sam Walton, right? Because there was not a fathering that was taking place on how to receive an inheritance, steward an inheritance, and pass on an inheritance to the next generation. In our stream, we love this aspect of pass on an inheritance to your children's children's children. Amen, hallelujah, woohoo, we get all excited about that. But it's practical. We have to learn how to do this. We have to learn how to steward what we've received. Sometimes what this is, though, is what we've received has not been good. It's been a tainted inheritance. The well of revival has been tainted because what God started and all of a sudden humanity took over and there was a moral failing or there was something that took place. And all of a sudden we look at that well of revival and go, well, the water's tainted in that well. As if what God did before the tainting was not good. And what we fail to recognize is this, is how do I receive a good inheritance and how do I redeem a tainted inheritance? Because you're called to do as a redeemed inheritance. But before you were born again, you received an inheritance, not just from your parents, but all the way back to Adam, which is an inheritance that was separation and a sin nature from God. Separation from him. That's what you inherited from Adam. This is why you have to be born again, so you have a brand new inheritance. And what I'm telling you is what next week, Joanna Coe Hernan's going to release an inheritance that she walks in that's meant for this region. I'm telling you, this is, I've been talking about Kairos moments. This, I'm telling you, is a Kairos moment. I don't need to try to be melodramatic or overemphasize like through human means. I'm just telling you, if you understand the weight in the spirit about what God is doing and what he's going to release into this region and into you, you have to understand there's something powerful that's going to take place. It's weighty. And it's necessary for the time that we live in. But we have to learn how to receive this inheritance. See, how many times do we look through and we say, well, I've received an inheritance of alcoholism, of abuse, or things like this. What possibly good spiritual inheritance can I receive from that? What we fail to recognize in these moments is this. You're not receiving an inheritance from natural things. You might receive physical money. You might receive some of those things. But what you're looking at is if Romans 8:28 is true, and can we all agree that all of Scripture is God-breathed and it's true, okay? God works all things out Let me hear you say, he works all things out. That includes the dysfunctional, screwed up thing that was handed to you by a previous generation. I'm just going to say this because I've been working with in some realms of racial reconciliation, and I'm just telling you, yes, there was a history in our nation where there was division, there was racism, and there was a whole groups of people, and not just when the African Americans were brought, we're talking even to the native peoples beforehand, enslaved people. This land had an inheritance that came up with it, was division. And I've worked with people and come into this place and other believers, and we have different even political views, but we both love Jesus and come to this place saying, how do we redeem? What was God doing in the middle of that? Why are we continuing to define the relations of today according to what failed humanity gave us, instead of how we define what God's wanting to do in the races according to Jesus Christ, where there is no race except for the race of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have to learn how to redeem broken things. We have to. This means we have to get messy. We have to get dirty. We have to get into it, and we have to have uncomfortable conversations. We have to confront the past. When Drew Neal was with us, he said something that was so profound to me that I understood it and I've thought about it, but I had never heard it put in these words before. He said this, we can look with foresight to what's going to come in the future according to the prophetic lens about what God is saying is going to happen. We can even look with insight to what God is doing right now according to natural data, or God's having a now rhema word. But what we fail to do often is this, look to our past in hindsight at the negative things with that same prophetic lens and look how God was working all things out for good. For those who love God, and you can't love God if you don't belong to God, which means you can't love God if you're not born again. So he's talking about for those who are born again and have this love affair with God and are called according to whose purpose? What about the purposes that the devil met? I don't care. Why does that even weigh into the equation? Well, that person that hurt me, they intended harm to me. Okay, let's pause for a moment and release comfort and to the trauma, to the hurt that you received. Like, that's a very real thing. We're going to comfort that. We're going to bring wholeness to that. We're going to allow God to speak to that. But then part of that equation has to say, now, why are you still viewing your worth and your value according to failed humanity? We have a responsibility to do with what we have in our hand. If you're born again, say, I am. Amen. I'm just going to say this with all the love I have in my heart, but all the authority of an apostle, because this is what the Lord said to say today. You lost your excuse to blame the past the moment you became born again. So now you got to do something with that. We have to redeem the things that we've inherited through the lens of that. But God worked all things out for good because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. What is that purpose? What does that look like? Now all of a sudden my worship and my focus comes on to the one who knows it all. It comes into this place, the one who's redeemed it all. All of a sudden I'm seated with him. Again, if you're born again, say, I am. Then your spirit that's born again is seated next to Jesus the Christ, who's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I just want you to go ahead and close your eyes for a second, and I want you to go into your glorified imagination for a moment. This is not really imagination, but you have to kind of connect this thing in your brain a little bit. And I want you to realize, if you're seated to the right of Jesus, who's seated to the right of the Father, that means you need to look to the left and see Jesus and the Father seated there. Now tell me what the devil has anything on you. Because if they're for you, then who could be against you? If they have a good inheritance for you, why are you continuing to receive what failed humanity or demonic realm wanted to give you. Look at me. This is important. This is the moment. This is a sentinel moment in history. This is the greatest generation that's ever lived in the history of the planet. How do I know that? Because we go from glory to glory to glory. We look historically and say, oh, well, in the good old days, back when Peter and Paul were still walking, they're going, why? They're a part of the cloud of witnesses saying, you're greater. You're living in the greater things. But you have to learn how to receive his inheritance. Steward this inheritance that's been given to you so that we can even re-tap the wells of revival that were broken and destroyed in the past. Somebody asked me the other day, y'all charismatic church. I said, I hate that label. You know why? It so narrows the definition of who we are. We're a kingdom church. And you can't be a kingdom church if you're not moving in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's God. He's the King of the kingdom. So many people said, well, are you evangelical? Do you share? That so narrows the definition of who we are. Yes, we share the gospel. Yes, we believe the word of God. Yes, but if you're a kingdom church, you believe the whole thing all at once. We're looking for a whole bride that's not segmented into these different factions according to belief systems. We're receiving an inheritance. I was so convinced last night as I was watching brother and sister Jael and Nicola Macklin, apostles and Bernie, and they're setting in. They set in four prophets, two evangelists, three pastors, and four deacons, I believe, last night. They've gone through extensive training with their house. And Jael says, I need an apostolic regional council to come as a presbytery to recognize what's happening. And what I told them is this, is I received an inheritance from my papa, Jack, that in 1970, he saw revival pour out and transform a city. You go back and you look at history in this region, but specifically in San Antonio, God wrecked a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church, whose pastor was the vice president of the Southern Baptist Association, and God's spirit poured out because Jack said this, I want revival at any cost. I want the kingdom of all any cost. I don't care what it takes. And God poured out something, and there was something started in 1970. But there's also prophetic words that have been spoken about this region going back 100 years. I'm telling you, going back to the founding of the town. I'm telling you, going back to when the Native Americans were still here. There's prophetic words over this land. How do I know this? Because the word of God has been eternal, spoken about what God wanted to do on this dirt with this group, particular group of people in this history and time. We're receiving an eternal inheritance. What we have to understand is this. Some inheritances are corporately inherited. It's general. Everybody can inherit the inheritance of the saints. But then there's some inheritances that are so personal to you, no one else could inherit that in the way that you can inherit that. And what the Lord's been talking to me is this. Until you understand how to inherit a general inheritance of the saints, you can never steward your individual inheritance. This is why when it says, I should not have to talk to you anymore about the laying, about these first things, about the baptisms, the laying of hands, right? The repentance from dead works. Those are so elementary. He's come to this place saying, like, guys, that is preschool kingdom theology. Yet I'm having to come back. Some of you should be able to teach now. Yet you're having to be reminded about the elementary thing. Oh, pastor, tell us again about that. Tell us again about that. It's time to grow up. What have you inherited? Inherit that theology. Inherit that belief system. Inherit what God has transformed you into so you can step into who you were meant to be. Only you could be that person. Only you. And it's needed in this time. So I felt like this, and I'm just going to be pretty blunt. This is not talking about anybody poorly. But I asked the question, the church that Jack pastored, when he got there, they were members 99 and 100. And that was 1958. 1970, there's 3,000 people saved in 6 months. It is the preeminent church in San Antonio at that point. There's moving and shaking. Everything that happened. Somebody says, well, yeah, Community Bible Church right now is the biggest church in San Antonio. I said, yeah, but the founding pastor's dad was a deacon in Jack's church when that revival happened. He inherited something. Do you hear what I'm saying? And stewarded it well until it grew greater than what he inherited. I'm so grateful to Robert Emmett because he learned how to do that. And guess what? I inherited something from him. This church was planted by that. We have a rich heritage in this region. But something happened. It wasn't the first generation, it wasn't the second generation, but somewhere along the line, that church, because as Jack was sent out to travel on a world stage, and the ones that took over afterwards, who inherited a mighty work of God, began to push back from the move of the Spirit, began to push back from the kingdom, and return back to a very narrow understanding of the kingdom. And that church is no longer around. And it took 48 years, but it's no longer around. What does that tell you? God had a purpose to begin something in a region, but if the next generation does not learn how to steward it, to receive it, to honor what was given to them, and to multiply it and increase, it will die off. Most major revivals in the world have started off with a bang and have died off because the next generation did not know and understand how to steward it. I think several ones that actually are still going, the Toronto blessing, the Toronto revival, is still having fruit across the world. 1993, I think it was, and there's a powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the airport church in Toronto, and now across the world have been impacted by that. And one of the reasons I believe it is they moved into a father-son paradigm of the kingdom, still being inherited. That's one of the few. There's sons in China. There's some in right now in Iran is experiencing revival like you can't even imagine right now. It's absolutely incredible. Do not believe the bad press. Don't believe the bad report of the second heaven. I'm telling you right now, God is on the move and he's looking for sons and daughters to become fathers and mothers to steward something. But the Lord told me one of my prophetic words is, you will redeem the old revivals that have dried up or were tainted. And I'm telling you, the revival well in San Antonio, this region, was not tainted, but it dried up because it cut off the source that started it. And what I'm here is telling you is I'm striking the ground and saying, let it flow. Jack Coe, Joanna will tell stories. He died early, died young. He did everything he could. But even from the stories I've looked at, he didn't have a father. There was an orphan. Literally, it was an orphan. And yet, God did miraculous, mighty things through that still are happening today. And I'm telling you is, what if the orphans all of a sudden became sons and daughters because they see the signs, miracles, and wonders, and that's not the greatest sign that they see? What if the greatest sign they see is that there's a loving father who loves them and just wants them? And that transforms things. Do you hear what I'm saying? I feel like I'm kind of bouncing, but I just need to hear some things. So let me read for you out of 1 John 1. 1 John 1, 1. That was from the beginning which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This is John talking about at 91 of the 12. He's the last one that walked with Jesus. And there had been this heresy that had risen up within the church saying that the flesh is all bad and that Jesus never would have come in the flesh. And John's going like, wait a minute, no. That was from the beginning. We heard it. We have seen it with our eyes. We've looked upon it. And our hands have handled, have touched the word of life. The life was manifested, and we've seen, we've bore witness. We declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. That which we've seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be made full. John is going, here's the most important thing. This is John at the end of his life. Everybody says, well, he wrote the book of Revelation. That wasn't John's greatest work. I'm sorry, it wasn't. That was John's letter saying, let me tell you, I saw him, I hugged him, I laid on his chest. That's what you inherit. All theology's got to run through that. Look what Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, a voice came to him from the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, and I take delight in him. This is at his baptism. Let me tell you, when you talk about a power portal, when Jesus is being baptized in the water by John, it says the heavens rended open. You know what that was? The third heaven, the Lord's going, get out of the way, Satan. I'm going to glorify my Son right now. He pierced through from heaven into earth, pushing aside all the demonic, all the angelic. He's saying, I'm preeminent, and I'm going to say to you that he's preeminent. And look what he says. I take delight in him. What are you inheriting? The delight of the Father. Yes, you have a calling. Yes, you have a unique purpose. Yes, you can receive mantles of authority, an impartation of the move and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yes, but don't let that define you. The only way you can handle the inheritance of the power is when you receive the inheritance of belonging. Somebody say, aren't you worried about it all becoming about you? Nope. That dude died. It's all about Jesus. I know I'm beloved. I know I'm beloved. And with that fear and trembling, the awe of the Lord that says, so when he hands power in my hand, I'm not worried about abusing it because it's not mine. It's not for me. It's for his kingdom to be manifest on the earth. Verse 18, and we heard this voice when it came from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. This is talking about the mountain of transfiguration. Verse 19, so we have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dismal place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you should know this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but instead men spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What was the prophetic word? Jesus is the greatest prophetic word ever manifested into this realm. And you inherit that. I just want to say this. If you are born again in the image of the living word of God, what does that make you? A walking, living, prophetic word to this world of God's redemption. But if you get a big head about it, you'll make it about you and your gift and your talent. And the Lord's going like, well, I gave you gifts. My gifts and calling are irrevocable. So I'm not going to take them away from you, but I am going to remove my presence from you. See, I'm not worried about this becoming about man or us or any of those things about the region, because I understand that we were meant just to be with him. I know I'm a son, dearly beloved, well pleased. I know you are too. As a house This is what we're stepping into. This is what we're inheriting. Let me read for you real quick out of 2 Chronicles 34, just give you an Old Testament example of this. There was obviously multiple kings within Israel's history, starting with Saul, going to David, and further on. There was Hezekiah, who lived for 29 years. He had a highly successful ministry. His heart was for the Lord. He had revival happen. He had cultural transformation. Where there had been pagan worship, he culturally transformed it to where only the word of the Lord was edified, things like that. He didn't necessarily end well, but he lived a good life. His son Manasseh became the worst king in the history of the planet. He ruled for 55 years. He was wicked. He set up everything. You think it's bad in our society right today? I'm not going to say names. He's every devil you would want to make of people on this earth combined into one. And it was happening in society. He dies. His son Amon becomes king. He only rules for 2 years. But then there's Josiah. Let me hear you say Josiah. Josiah is 8 years old whenever he inherits the throne from his father and from his grandfather. If there was anyone who could inherit a worse inheritance, it would have been Josiah. Outside of us inheriting something from Adam, he inherited something that was a wreck. Demonic activity all over, it was horrible. I think it was worse than what we see in our society today. But Josiah's heart was for the Lord. And at 8 years old, I'm just going to read it to you. 2 Chronicles 34. I'm not going to go through his whole story, just a few segments of it so we can pick some things out. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. Did you notice this? Who was his father? Amon. Who was his grandfather? Manasseh. Who was his great-grandfather? Hezekiah. David's been dead a long time at this point. What made Josiah successful was this, is he did not inherit things from Manasseh or his father. He didn't even inherit it from Hezekiah. It says he did things in the line of his father, David. He received the heart that was after God only. Do you understand this? This is how you inherit things, even if your grandfather, your dad, your mom, whatever, was a wreck. You don't have to receive those things. What I'm telling you is go back to Jesus. If that's the only one in your family line you can point to, go back to them and saying, my father, the eternal father, Jesus, I've inherited that. But it's okay to also look in your natural human line, or maybe it's a spiritual line. He may not even been genetically really connected to David. We don't know for sure within that, but what I'm telling you is this. It's the genetics of heaven that you're tapping into. And what it says is, and he was 8 years old. Tell me what 8 year old is ready to rule the nation? Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to shut my... I don't know that I would have been ready. I wasn't ready at 21 to get married, but I did. Much less 8 years old and inherit a kingdom. What made him successful? His mother told him the stories of David. Do you understand this? He inherited something, a prophetic word. He hears the stories about David, and that becomes a prophetic word for him. He didn't even have the book of law. Look what happens here. In the 8th year of the reign, while he was still a youth, he began to seek the God of his father David. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, the carved images, and the molten images. And they tore down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars that were high above them, he chopped down. Also the Asherim, the carved images, and the molten images, he broke into pieces and ground to powder and scattered it on graves of those who had sacrificed to them. That's dirty, man. You wanted to sacrifice to this God? All right, here's what's left of your sacrifices afterwards. How do you redeem a broken inheritance? You go into the things and the places did not edify Jesus, and you begin to tear down the strongholds that lifted up another image. And you crush them down into dust, and you scatter it onto the grave of the past. Because you don't live according to the past anymore. Do you hear what I'm saying? You might say, well, hey, I inherited alcoholism from my family. I've got multiple generations. Well, it's time to stop living according to that inheritance. And it's time to start rising up into the inheritance of Jesus, which means this. You're not an alcoholic. You're actually living from an inheritance that was never meant to be you. And it's time to crush it and ground it up and say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I scatter it to dust where it doesn't even have a hold on me anymore. Do you understand that? It has no more hold. But we like to play patty cake with these things. We like to keep memories of, or even mementos of, the old life I used to live. And I'm saying, crush it. Crush it. Crush it. If I could say it again, crush it. Scatter it. It's in the past. It's dead. Of course, Josiah goes one up on this. Look what he says in verse 5. Then he burned the bones of the priests on their altars and purged Judah and Jerusalem. He delivered Jerusalem and Judah. Sometimes you got to go through deliverance. Not inner healing. Sometimes you need to go through deliverance. Purge that old thing. The reason you need inner healing is because you're still playing patty cake with the old thing. I've got two counselors in the room. I think I'm in safe ground on this. Inner healing's great. We do this. But I'm telling you, how many people have come up to me and they're like, oh, it's just so hard. And oh, I've got this. And I'm going, why do you still have the bones of your life? How about you crucify yourself with Christ? Are we okay? Yes. Y'all were excited earlier. Verse 6. He didn't just stop in Jerusalem and Judea. Listen, I just want you to hear the great commission in this. Start in Jerusalem, go to Judea, go to Samaria, and go to the outermost parts of the earth. Look at the revival that Josiah starts. He starts in Jerusalem. He goes to Judah. And then he begins to go to the surrounding cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, and as far as Naphtali and their surrounding ruins. You know what those were? Those were tribes of Israel who had inheritances in the promised land when they came up. He's naming the headquarters. He's naming the capital cities of the 12 tribes of Judah that had an inheritance in the land that was a good inheritance. But in subsequent generations, they began to taint the inheritance to the point where there was Baal worship, there was worship, there were sacrifices, all those things. And he says, I'm not satisfied just to redeem my own hometown. I'm not satisfied just to have my own heart in this place of worship with him. But we need to go out and redeem the capital cities of Israel and Judah. And he goes there and he begins that work. This is the Great Commission. Destroying the works of the devil. But do you understand that destroying the works of the devil is not the point? It's the establishment of the kingdom of God. That's the point. There's way too many in the church world that are deconstructionists. They don't like church as usual. They don't like church pastors. They don't like this thing. They think all this is all bad, bad, bad. So they just want to tear it all down. And I've had multiple conversations with some of them. I go, so what are you going to build in its place? Well, we're just given the business of deconstruction. I go, no, you're not. If you deconstruct and don't rebuild, you're actually just as bad as the ones that built the bad thing in the first place. Because what does it say? If you cast out a demon out of a house, sweep it up, but you leave it empty, more come back to occupy. Hear this. We're going to wrap it up. This is inheritance. It's not enough for me to tell you about the gospel of the kingdom, help you step into your beloved identity, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to learn how to steward that so your house is full and becomes a well of revival within you so you can go outward and do the same. This is inheritance. This is what you're giving. This is what you're passing on. Redeem it, steward it, and pass it on. I'm going to finish with this. Verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, an official of the city, and Joah, and the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. After he had purged it, he built the house of the Lord. This is what I'm saying. It's not about what you deconstruct, it's what you build on the place that was deconstructed. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you're receiving a contractor's license in your inheritance. Tear down the old, and in its place, build the house of God. In our context, in a new creation, new covenant theology, we don't come. This is not the temple. Point to yourself. You're the temple. What's being constructed in you is important, so you can go and become a construction worker out there. Amen. So, won't you stand up with me? Because we got a baby shower. Time to clean. In info table. First Peter 1:3 says, "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance." Let me say, hear you say inheritance. "Into an inheritance that's imperishable, uncorrupted, unfading, kept in heaven." Hello, come on, first heaven, third heaven, right? Your inheritance is kept there. That's where your spirit is born again. It's kept in heaven for you. "You're being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. And you rejoice in this, though for now, a short time, you have to had to struggle in various trials so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes through refined by fire, though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You love him, though you've not seen him, and though not seeing him now, you believe in him and rejoice with unexpressible and glorious joy, because you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." What is he talking about? You didn't see the first generation. You didn't start the business. You were not Sam Walton. But even though you didn't even meet Sam Walton, you inherit Sam Walton's wealth and his capacity to generate wealth. Parallel, right? You might not have seen Jesus, but you've seen him in the spirit because you've been born again. And now you have this hope, right? Because you've received an inheritance. You're called to steward that inheritance and pass it on to multiple generations after you. And I just want to read the definition of this. When it says the salvation of your souls, it's the word psyche. But listen to this. The vital breath, the breath of life, the human soul. The soul as the seat of affections and the will. The self, a human person, an individual. A person's distinct identity, unique personhood, your individual personality. The soul is the direct aftermath. Let me hear you say the aftermath. The soul is the direct aftermath of God breathing and blowing his gift of life into a person and making them an ensouled being. Here's what I want you to pick up on. When you became born again, the gift that God gave you is a brand new soul, brand new personality. The one you were meant to be before the foundation of the earth, that's what it's talking about. The one you were always meant to be, despite the tainting and the junk of inheritance that comes down that was not pure. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's not what you're receiving is what God always intended from the beginning of salvation for you, or beginning of creation, when he went, "You're a person." So let's pray. Ask the question, Holy Spirit,
What are you saying to me? As he's communicating to you, I'm just going to release a blessing over you. And I just want to declare and decree over you that you are who God says you are. If you do not know if you're born again or not, give your life to Christ. I speak to your spirit and call it to rise from the grave and become born again. I speak to everyone in this room. I speak to your spirits, and I call your spirits to rise above your soul and your body into perfect harmony with Jesus the Christ as it is in heaven. And I give your soul, your unique personality, your mind, your will, your emotion, permission to submit to your spirit and to Jesus. And I call your body, and I give your body permission to come into perfect alignment with your spirit, your soul, and your body. So as your spirit's in heaven and your soul and your body are here on the earth, I just declare to you that the second heaven is cut out. You are a direct walking vortex, a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day, filled with the Spirit of God, receiving an inheritance now. I just declare over you right now, I release to you the ability to redeem tainted inheritances in Jesus' name. I release to you the wisdom of heaven on how to not just steward, but to multiply the talent, the inheritance that God has given you, not just for your generation, but future generations to come. And Lord, we submit ourselves to you as our King, as our Father. Have your way. And we declare this in your mighty name, and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.